Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Our team is on a mission, and hi, everybody. How are you? I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino. We're just chatting about how hard my last name is to say, so it's Guarino. And I'm the host, one of the hosts, anyway, of the Best Ever You Show. We have a new co-host, and Dr. Walter Jacobson. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks, Elizabeth. How are you?
You're like Elizabeth. What do I say to your last name?
I was thinking of saying one of the alternative choices of the name, and I go, wait a second, I better stick to the Elizabeth right now.
You could have. It's all good. It's really funny. We're on opposite ends of the country, and I've got the giggles today for some reason. It's pretty funny. But I'm in Maine. Walter's in California. Our guest, I think, is in California. Lori, are you in California?
No, I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I thought you were in California. All right, well, hang on. We're going to bring
Dallas.
You in just a minute and talk a little bit.
Okie doke.
I just learned the term hook 'em from the Longhorns.
Uh-oh.
My son wants to play
converter.
Baseball there, so hook 'em. Anyway, all right,
hook 'em horns.
Hang on a second. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we're going to back up. Walter, one of the things I wanted to do to start the show today was each talk about our books. Briefly, because we're both published authors, and I know our guest is a published author, too. And so before we start the show and bring Lori on, you guys kind of heard her there, we have Lori Shemek with us today. Could you talk a little bit about your book and what you do? Because I'm going to tie it into the show a little bit here as we go.
Sure. The name of my book is Forgive to Win and Self-Sabotage and Create the Life You Want. And basically the idea is that people sabotage themselves, they get in their way, they don't do the things that they need to do. And a lot of it, I believe, is due to guilt, shame, and self-loathing that is at a deep unconscious level. And my feeling is that the way to overcome guilt, shame, and self-loathing is actually to forgive others, to be of service to others. And the more that you do that, you heal yourself. And when you heal yourself, you get rid of your self-sabotaging behaviors, and then the world starts working for you rather than against you.
Okay, yep, so Forgive to Win. And my book is called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. And, I wish I had, that speech about my book, but I need to practice that. My book, to me, is about finding inner peace, and it's like 9 steps to deal with change and coping with change and really helping people in a number of different areas live their best life. And it stems from my own personal experience having food allergies and nearly dying a whole bunch of times, but in particular two really, really near-death experiences. One where I was 6 months pregnant with our son Cameron, who is now 15, and we both almost died. And back it up, 1 year prior to that, I had an allergic reaction to almonds and really seriously just nearly lost my life. I woke up hooked to kidney machines and all sorts of stuff. And so there's a story of my dad's stroke in there and all this good stuff. But anyway, so we have the reason why I mention our two books prior to the show is because Lori's coming on here, and Lori is the best-selling author of Fire Up Your Fat Burn, she's a leading health and weight loss expert, but she's also known as the Inflammation Terminator. And you're probably wondering, how is my brain connecting those books to that? And it's because I believe, and Lori, please chime in here, that it's all connected. I don't think you can lose weight and be healthy and be your best self unless you've kind of got your ducks in a row mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and all these different things. Does it all tie in, or is it as simple as, I better not eat that carb and I'll be okay?
It really does all tie in. It dovetails. When you focus on just one thing at a time, it's not as effective as if you focus on all of it together. But you can lose weight and not have all your ducks in a row, if you will. So an example of that would be somebody who is on a crash diet, for example, or a very, trendy fad diet that's, just one food group, for example. So that's somebody who's losing weight, and you absolutely can do that, but you're paying a price when you do that.
Yeah, yeah. I also think that you know, the self-sabotage is a big deal. If people know mm-hmm. what's best, but they resist, and in various ways they sabotage. Like for example, Laura, you got this incredible program, and if people engage in it, they will see massive results. But if they resist because of self-sabotaging behaviors, they don't love themselves enough or whatever, they have a lot of shame and guilt and self-loathing, then they're going to get in their way. They're not going to really process the steps and do the feedback loops you talk about. And so they get less of the results they want, which is why I think you really want to learn how to love yourself and forgive yourself by loving and forgiving others. So, resistance is a big deal. Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it really is so important. In fact, I talk about weight loss, the mental aspect of it, the emotional aspect of it, as being the foundational part of it. You have to have that in place to be successful long term. So if you go into weight loss and you really haven't addressed the issues of, for example, food addiction, or you haven't addressed the issues of certain food triggers, for example, mm-hmm. or you, like you mentioned, the lack of self-worth, that is incredibly important in terms of success. So even through the holiday season, for example, if you feel that you can't withstand the onslaught, if you will, of the food, that's saying to yourself that you're not worthy enough, that you don't believe in yourself enough to be able to do that. So you're setting a precedent right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I don't know how we got into a discussion with cookies about Pete Winarski. I think it was me, because I had made cookies in the house. I was like munching them down, and I looked down on the scale, and I'm like, oh my God, there's 2 pounds. And the
but
cookies came into my house, Laurie, and I didn't like turn them down. And I made them on top of it. But I didn't feel like all self-sabotage-y, like, oh my gosh, you know, the world is ending. But I do think people sit in that space and they kind of get stuck.
Oh, yeah.
And the pounds creep on and on and on and on, and eventually it gets out of control to the point where you are like, oh, but you could almost go into hopeless mode if you let it go. How do you reclaim yourself from a self-sabotaging type of cycle? Ooh, that was a mouthful.
You know, that is one of the hardest things for somebody to do. And if they've done it, especially in the throes of it, then they really, truly need to pat themselves on the back, because it's a very strong action to take. So if you're in the throes of, I'm done, I can't do this, you throw your hands up in the air, nothing ever works out for me, you know, here I go again, and this negative self-talk, if you continue to do that, it obviously, what are you going to reap in the end, which is more negative. So if you stop, so say you've eaten a bag of cookies, okay? When you finish that bag of cookies, instead of the self-loathing, get right back on the horse.
Right.
It's as simple as that. But you have to know that this is a rule, okay? And if that does happen to you, and that you do engage in that action, to get right back on the horse, that is a very important point.
Hey, you know, Laurie, you know, what I found amazing about the book is that it, you know, it's taught me stuff that I had no idea about. You know, you talk about how dieting and losing weight and it's actually not about calories. It's about the food you eat and inflammation in your body. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yes, in fact, it's the core cause of weight gain, and that is inflamed fat cells. So when you have inflamed fat cells, what your fat cells are doing is they're producing inflammatory molecules, cytokines. And these inflammatory molecules affect you metabolically and slow down your metabolism. And what happens is you gain weight, right? And so then when you gain more weight, your fat cells then are able to produce more of these inflammatory molecules, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So I call it fatflammation. And fatflammation is the core cause of weight gain. And the good news is that it can be reversed. But yes, it's an inflammatory disorder, if you will. Your fat cells are acting as if they're irritated or infected. You can look at a fat cell spewing out these inflammatory molecules. It's like a factory doing this, okay? It's like a little factory. We used to think that our fat was just simply an inert substance that just sat there, jiggled, and looked really ugly. And we now know that that's not true. In fact, it's very intelligent, and it's constant, your fat cells, and they're constantly sending out messages, okay? So it's there. It's important. There are a couple different types of inflammation. One is acute inflammation, which we all know about. It hurts. It's swollen. It's that sprained black and blue ankle or that head cold. That's acute inflammation. That's an immune response, and very important because without it, we wouldn't be walking, okay? So we need acute inflammation, even though it's not so cute. So
yeah.
Know that's important. And then the next type of inflammation is silent inflammation. And silent inflammation is there 24/7 doing its dirty work unbeknownst to most people. In fact, 75% of all Americans are walking around with silent inflammation, and they don't know it. And so what it does, it's silence. Its very nature is what the problem is. And so it results in problems, health conditions down the road like obesity and diabetes, other inflammatory conditions such as heart disease and Alzheimer's disease, and much, much more. So then the third type of inflammation is what I call fatflammation. And fatflammation, as I described, is essentially really silent inflammation of the fat cell. So the good news with silent inflammation and fatflammation is it can be reversed. And the best way to do it is through our diet.
I started kind of becoming a study of this kind of stuff when my father got sick 10 years ago. My father's diabetic and a stroke survivor and cancer survivor and all these things. And I have my own, like we were talking about, I have my own food allergies. And I'm not a person, the reason why I got so interested in it is, because of my dad and then my own self, I'm not a person personally who can kind of go to the doctor and take medication or, I'm drug-free, alcohol-free, smoke-free, and pretty much I am prescription drug-free.
And you're pure.
I'm pure, yeah.
You're pure.
And, I can take a Tylenol and I'm fine, but I generally don't. I kind of fight inflammation because through doing those things, but the way I don't seem to be able to do a great job of fighting inflammation, I know this is personal, but I think a lot of people share this, is through sugar. And I think sugar.
Absolutely.
I have a personal war on sugar myself, and no one has to agree with me or whatever. But I think sugar, whether you eat it in a spoonful or eat it and it's hidden in something, is like the root of like so much disease. I think if people could on sugar, we wouldn't have diabetes. And sorry, I'll be quiet and please explain, because I really want our audience, I've read all sorts of books on this and everything, and I could go on and on, but I really would like it if is that a topic that you talk about?
It is, and it's very much a part of what I talk about, because sugar is the number one inflammatory food, if you can call it that, okay? So most people are addicted to sugar. I was addicted to sugar when I was younger and in school, and I was looking for it every day. I had it every day, and if you have it every day, you're addicted to it. And a lot of people say, well, Lori, I can get off sugar anytime I want. And I always say, then why aren't you? Because people are eating it every day. It's in, and not intentionally either. It's in everything, right. It's in ketchup. It's in salad dressing. It's in those red and white canned soups, for example, high fructose corn syrup, which is even worse. So when you eat sugar, it creates, outside of the fact that it creates an imbalance in your blood sugar, which leads to more sugar and more cravings and hunger, it also causes something called glycation in the body. And without getting too technical, essentially what's happening is you're caramelizing your bodily tissue when you eat sugar. And the effects of it are horrendous, really, because what's happening is you're rendering the tissues in the body inflexible, okay? They're changing structure. So when protein and sugar connect, a chemical reaction occurs. And we, of course, have protein in our body, and when we eat the sugar, this chemical reaction occurs. So it's pretty much exactly like browning a steak on the stove, or those crispy potatoes that you cook on the stove, the crispy part. That's essentially what's going on with your bodily tissue. And that's why there are so many problems with sugar, not just in weight gain, but in health as well. So it's very inflammatory.
Yeah, I wanted to say about the sugars. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see it as a poison. I see it as a toxic substance. I mean, yeah, in small amounts, okay, we can enjoy it. But in the large amounts that we consume it, it's not just the body, it's also the mind. It alters people's personalities. In my opinion, it makes people more aggressive. And then there's the sugar swings, and includes mood swings as well. It's really bad news. And people who drink sodas in these big gulps, they are getting mm-hmm. a quantum amount of sugar and salt as well. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of sugar to hide the sodium and the salt that's in the sodas. And this is just one way that you're killing yourself.
That's
right.
Another thing, I am soda free. It's funny that you said
that.
I'm soda free too. I can't say the same for my kids. They went, now that they're older and driving around, they pick up sodas here and there, and I'm like, comes into the house and they have like a freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sugar freak out either, just a freak out.
One soda contains 10 to 15 teaspoons of sugar. And it doesn't end with the sodas. We've got the energy drinks, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine sitting down in one sitting and eating 10 to 15 teaspoons of the white granulated sugar, it sounds disgusting. And that's exactly what's happening when people are drinking that sugar. And they have no idea because it's such a quick, a soda, how long does that last?
Yeah, right. It's a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
To speak, with the addiction of it. And that's one of the, I think sodas are one of the foods, you have a blog about like 10 foods to stay away from in order to avoid inflammation and increase weight loss or something?
Right, I do. I write a lot about inflammation, and my blog is on my website, and we have really great health contributors, health experts that have good information as well. But I write a lot about inflammation and its effects on weight and health overall. In fact, I've been coined the inflammation terminator. I used to have this photo of me that was, it looked like an Arnold Schwarzenegger photo. So it was a fitness photo of me, and I had sunglasses on, and I looked really lethal, just like Arnold. The inflammation terminator.
You're so beautiful. It's hard to picture you lethal.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
For those, what's your website? It's laurischemek.com, correct?
It's Dr. Lori Shemek, shemek.com, right. And, outside of the inflammatory effects of sugar, you have the fact that when you ingest sugar, you trigger insulin, all right? And a lot of people think, oh, I don't have diabetes, it doesn't matter, I can eat all the sugar I want, it doesn't run in my family. But that is a problem, because what happens is if you eat sugar every day, which is chronically, then you're triggering insulin, okay? And then what you want is insulin to do its job, which is to mop up the extra sugar that's circulating in your system and store it in your cells, okay, for energy at a later time. So what happens is it's like insulin's like a Pac-Man. It just gobbles it up. But what happens is that every day you're adding more and more sugar to your body, and the cells can't store it anymore, okay? The liver can't store it anymore. And then what happens is the insulin continues to circulate, the sugar continues to circulate, and then you have serious health conditions down the road that are related to weight gain, but not necessarily. So it really is a problem.
Lori, let's take a listener and make them have some bad habits. And we won't pick on anybody listening or anything like that.
Okay.
But let's say somebody out there listening is drinks, smoke, doesn't really care what they eat. They go through the drive-through. They eat processed food. They eat canned food, frozen food, you name it. They just, you know, eat whatever. They're on some types of prescription drugs, and they don't exercise. So I just five whammied somebody with five things.
And I only get to choose.
Nope, you can take that person, and you can even add more things that they might be doing, maybe not sleeping, working, add, 60-hour work week to that mix. What's that person doing to themselves? Are they okay?
No. In fact, they're highly inflamed. And you could just, I just had an image of the person in my mind, and I can tell just by looking at somebody if they are or not, if they're carrying low-level inflammation around or not. Most Americans are, in fact. But, you know, if what I would say to this person, if they were making healthy, unhealthy lifestyle choices like that, I would just have them change one behavior at a time, because in a situation where there are too many, it would be overwhelming and success wouldn't be easily attained, okay? So what you want is what I would absolutely have them do, assuming that depending on the type of prescription drugs he's taking or she's taking, I would make sure that they take fish oil, okay? Fish oil is incredibly important, vital to reducing fat cell inflammation for one, and overall inflammation. And so by doing that, just that one action alone is going to reap major benefits. Okay, assuming now that he's not on Coumadin or some other blood thinning. And so that's what I would do. That would be the first action. The next step I would take would be to look at his or her diet. And the diet is an extremely important part of optimal health and weight loss. It's 80% of your success. So we would want to look at that next. And then we would go into the other areas. But what happens typically, especially if you have somebody who's addicted to alcohol and smoking, et cetera, they start to, first of all, they'll freak out if they have to do it all at once. And then they start trading addiction with whatever, so addictive behavior.
Yeah, I didn't throw sugar in there. They might swap an addiction for something else.
Right,
so,
for sugar, yeah, right.
Yeah, for sugar or whatever.
Caffeine,
it might be.
Right.
You know, I agree with you that you do one thing at a time and it builds confidence. You're able to not overwhelm yourself with so many tasks and just focus on one kind of mini goal. And get that into the program, into your lifestyle daily schedule, and then you feel comfortable to add something else. And something that struck me about your book is the idea of water. If people could trade out the sodas for water and find a way to make it taste good enough so that they drink plenty of it, tell us about the water factor.
Well, Walter, the water is critical because our bodies are 70% water, okay, 68 to 70% water. And you think about it, if our bodies have that high a content of water, doesn't it make sense that our bodies need water? So what is happening to most people is that they are walking around mildly dehydrated and they don't even know it. So they're suffering things like joint pain, headaches, backache, foggy thinking. They are tired all the time. You know, in the afternoon when they're tired around 2 or 3, that's a sign of mild dehydration, most likely. And so what I have my clients do is I have them drink water consistently throughout the day and enough. Because what happens is if you don't, you are in a chronic state of dehydration, mild dehydration. So have you ever gone to the refrigerator and you've opened up the refrigerator door and you've stood there and you've looked at it and you said, you know, I want something to eat. I'm just not really sure what it is. I'm hungry, but I really don't know what I want. that's a sign you might be mildly dehydrated, because the brain, when mildly dehydrated, confuses thirst for hunger, because they're both in the same area of the brain. And unfortunately, we weren't created in such a way where there was a delineation, right? So there's some confusion when we become mildly dehydrated. Sugar cravings, food cravings are also a result of mild dehydration. Weight gain is a huge factor in mild dehydration. Okay, so what happens is that the cells are not adequately hydrated, so they're not functioning optimally. And when you have cells that are not functioning optimally, cellular function slows down. And when that happens, your metabolism slows down. And then what? Inflamed fat cells, and it just becomes this all-over vicious cycle. So drinking water consistently. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, sorry. By drinking water consistently.
Go ahead. Right. Drinking water consistently throughout the day and a minimum of half your body weight in ounces. And it's funny because some people say to me, oh, are you serious? That much water? And I'll say, yes. And some people will go, are you sure that's enough? So it's just, it's all over the place. But
so here,
yeah,
I'm taking a drink of water right now. Here it is.
Oh, yay.
There. Yay.
And so, yeah. Go ahead.
Definitely. Well, I wanted to ask about cancer, because a lot of people are searching for answers to cancer, and there's some suggestion out there that it's tied into sugar, because it's said that sugar messes with the oxygen levels in your cells and
mm-hmm.
deprives your cells of oxygen and kind of fires up the inflammation, and once the inflammation gets out of control, cancer is something that could happen. Have you done any research, or do you know anything about that?
Well, yes. What we know for a fact is that cancer cells feed off of sugar in the body, okay? That's how they survive. And so that's why if you have cancer, you have had cancer, or you don't want cancer, one important proactive step to take is to eliminate sugar from your diet. And I want to make a point, too, that sugar, not just white sugar, we're talking about refined carbs as well, because these refined carbs like white flour, pasta, white bread, white rice, these types of refined grains are metabolized just like sugar, and they spike insulin just like sugar. Their only saving grace, which is not even detectable, okay, trust me on this, is that they have a smidge, almost a gram of fiber, okay? They have just a smidge of fiber in there that tamps down a little bit the release of sugar into the body. So, but it's not enough to even make a dent, okay? So really, you want to make sure that you avoid refined carbohydrates like the pastas and, you know, and even whole wheat pasta and whole grain pastas. And I know I'm hearing a lot of moans and groans right now, but
these... You
it's like, what can
me?
We
like, oh. Well, you can
I know.
Because I can't eat some of that stuff because of food allergies. And I was going to bring in food allergies here just a little bit, because when you talk fish mm-hmm. oil and grains and things like that,
mm-hmm.
some of that stuff makes me, and I know a lot of our listeners, very ill. I mm-hmm. have life-threatening allergies to fish, shellfish, all nuts, and peanuts. And so right there, I get into kind of a spiral, and I know some of our food allergy community does too, as to what exactly to eat if fish oil is
mm-hmm.
supposed to be one of the best things you can eat to fight inflammation and you can't
well,
eat it. What do you do?
There's an omega-3 supplement, a DHA algae-derived omega-3 supplement. Okay, and I recommend it for vegetarians, and if you're not allergic to algae, seaweed, then this is going to benefit you. So look into that. Now, in terms of, go ahead.
No, I think that's fantastic, and I'm going to put this stuff onto the show, too, because we have a huge food allergy community, too.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, that's really important for them to know. And then in terms of, now I said the whole wheat bread, the whole wheat pasta, they're both processed foods. Okay, so what they do is they take this whole wheat. It's not like you're simmering whole wheat groats or something on the stove, okay, and eating them whole. It's you're taking these you're grinding these kernels down to a fine powder. And remember what I said about the release of sugar into the body. When something becomes finely ground, it becomes easier for the body to release the sugar. So that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to slow down that release of sugar so that you stay satiated, you reduce inflammation, you reduce weight gain, and all over inflammation, in fact. So you want to avoid as much as you can. I know a lot of people eat a lot of whole wheat products and whole grain products, which are fine, but, you know, you want to make sure it's not the processed ones, okay? Now, one slice of whole wheat bread can have as much as 7 teaspoons of sugar in it, so it's really important. On my Dr. Lori's page on Facebook, I yesterday posted an ingredient label of whole wheat bread. The first ingredient said whole wheat flour, which everyone's going, yay, I'm doing right. You know, I'm buying this healthy bread for me and my family and doing the right things. The next ingredient, what is it? Sugar. Okay.
Or honey or something, yeah.
Honey was down honey. There. Honey was molasses, right. And it was in this, it was later in the ingredient list. So the two largest ingredients, meaning that they made up most of the food product listed, were at the top there, were sugar and whole wheat, okay, ground whole wheat flour. So that right there, you're getting a double whammy of an inflammation right there. So very important. So you think about a sandwich with two slices of this, you're getting 14 grams of sugar, 14 teaspoons, rather, of sugar.
I'm going to ask one more food allergy question here for just a second.
Ahead.
Just to paint the picture for the food allergic community here. One of the things that drives me absolutely crazy is I see a lot of food allergic folks looking for things without nuts in it or whatever, and they go, oh, yeah, I just found this bag of chips, and it's nut-free. I'm going to eat it. Hoo-hoo, it's nut-free. Oh, I just found this bag of this or bag of that, or this kind of candy is nut-free. I'm going to eat that. And it drives me absolutely nuts because I want to go back and say, look, one of the root causes of food allergies is inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to go on like a clean eating rant. And you know, half the problems cause it might be nut free, but it's processed junk that you're just feeding your food allergies. And I had to really learn this.
That's really important information.
Can you explain that? Because I see so many, like, I see so many magazines too with like nut-free brownies, nut-free cakes, nut-free cookies, nut-free. Oh, I feel so deprived. I'm a little kid. I can't have cake, and I want to just help. I get, you know, that we're, you know, kids and the cake and the this and the that to celebrate and whatever. But if that's your main fuel for a food allergic individual, they're getting more and more inflamed, aren't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, you know, if you want to avoid...
That was my rant, by the way, sorry.
Yeah, I love it. We have to have one a day, don't we? At least I do, anyway. If you want to, you know, live... If you want to have optimal physical, mental, and emotional well-being, you have to stay away from the junk foods, the processed foods. I'm telling you, I was addicted to sugar, so I know exactly what it's like. And when I went off sugar, things changed for me. I had more energy. I was able to think clearer. The sad part about it with me was that I knew better, okay? But I was still addicted to sugar and found a way to get off that's very effective and haven't been on sugar since I was younger. But it's still... The best way to go is to stay away from the chips, stay away from, don't use anything as an excuse. That's the thing. You have to really look at yourself and face your enemy, if you will. Sugar is the number, sugar, and I would say also junk food is the number, public enemy number one, if you will.
So I was going to just go follow up on this thing about the do's and don'ts of foods to choose to take or not to take. And two things that I wanted you to touch upon was, one, you talk about how the importance of protein at every meal, and the second thing was, interestingly enough, how you can melt fat with fat.
Yes, so protein is critical tamping down food cravings and hunger. Through research, we now know that you can stop this from happening for hours. In fact, there's been a couple studies, but one study in particular showed that just having two eggs in the morning literally stops any hunger, any cravings. You sail through to lunch, and you're not even ravenous. So just two eggs. And the reason for that is because, for one, sugar balances your blood sugar, and that stops at the ups and downs. So when you eat sugar, typically what happens is your blood sugar spikes super high, and then it drops super fast, kind of like throwing a ball up in the air and watching it fall rapidly to the ground. That's your blood sugar, okay, on sugar. And when it hits ground, when the ball hits the ground, is when you go, uh-oh, I need more sugar, because the body always wants to maintain balance. So it's searching for a way to bring your sugar level back up. So what do? You search for more sugar, for caffeine, anything to get you going. And this is the vicious cycle that I talk about. And so what happens with protein, it stops that, okay? It really helps tamp that down. And then another key factor in protein is it signals the hormone CCK, which tells your brain you've had enough to eat. And it does it really well as a healthy fat does. A healthy fat triggers the hormone leptin that tells your brain you've had enough as well. So if you have, for example, an egg, which is high in protein, and you have the egg with the yolk, which is a healthy fat, there you go. You're good for hours, you know. And so, yeah, so protein is very, very, very key to weight loss and optimal health, because if you're not having falling victim, if you will, to those temptations around you, especially in the holiday season, then you're good to go.
3 years ago, I went off sugar,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to tell you, it was the equivalent of what I would, like a movie scene, like a drug addicted, like in a room, you know, with shakes and, you know, that kind of thing. It was incredible. I literally, my husband's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, it's sugar. I'm telling you, I'm not going to eat sugar anymore. I took myself off sugar, and I actually had to eat sugar for like 3 weeks in bits and pieces, because it was such a, I thought I could cold turkey it, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like light bulbish like that. I can stop doing something like that or be the best sugar addict ever, you pick. And so I light bulbed it, and I had headaches and shakes and nausea.
And you're not alone.
Yeah, you're detoxing.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
See, people don't realize how addicted, you are not alone. And it's common, it's everywhere. So I'm really, that's very impressive that you're able to get off sugar, you know.
Oh,
and when you eat sugar, when you eat sugar, when anyone eats sugar, you trigger an area of the brain that is the reward center. You trigger dopamine, and they've done these experiments with rats, for example, that they put cocaine-addicted rats in front of these little dishes of water. One water dish was infused with sugar. One water dish was infused with cocaine. And lo and behold, guess which ones they went to? They went to the dish with the sugar, not the cocaine that they were addicted to, but the sugar dish. And so if you look at imaging with, you know, humans and in animals, you see when you ingest sugar, the same area that lights up in the brain is the same area of people who are addicted to drugs, for example. So that's how addictive this stuff is.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's hard because I think it really is an addiction, and it's one. It's just
it
like you got to like fight it every day. Like it's almost like once your body is in that mode, it has to come out of it and stay out of it. And it can be. I know if I roller coaster my weight around a little bit, it's because I'm not eating quite right. Like right now, I think I'm up maybe like 15 pounds, maybe 10 pounds heavier than I should be. And I don't think it's anything deliberate like donuts or anything like that. My problem, I think, is like portion, actually.
Yeah, that's
I think I'm eating right. I'm just eating, like I'm still kind of correcting. It's funny with food allergies. It really is disabling in a way. You really have to maneuver to stay alive daily and be very careful with what you eat and read food labels and everything like that. It's a disease in a way to me. And so it's something I deal with all the time, but I would say once I find something I can't eat, I'm like, oh, I can eat. And I eat, and then I'm eating too much. And it must not be the right thing because it puts weight on me combined with probably my age a little bit, and I've gained probably 15 of the pounds that I lost back. I'm making a point here. Can you explain age and what happens as we age? And then also, second, can you explain portion control? Because if you eat 10 eggs instead of 2, what happens to you in the morning?
Right. So so with age, what happens is, in terms of our metabolism, is that at about 28 years old, we start to lose muscle mass, okay? And then through the decades, we lose more and more and more. And if you've ever watched, if you've ever seen a frail person, you've ever touched them, they're just skin and bones. They don't have any more muscle left. Well, that doesn't have to happen. It happens naturally if you don't intervene, okay? So what I have my clients do is, no matter what their age, is I make sure they have an adequate intake of protein, all right, so that no matter what, whether they're vegetarian or not, they have to have an adequate intake of protein. Because what protein does is it builds muscle mass. And I'm not saying to look like Arnold at all, but what you want to do is to prevent the loss of muscle as you age, because muscle is metabolically active, where fat just is pretty much sitting there, not expending as much energy. Muscle does. Muscle expends a lot of energy. And when you eat protein, you're building that muscle, and that's going to keep your body, your metabolism humming, if you will. So,
what about I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to just tie that into your plate method, which I think will really help people to visualize this portion idea, perhaps, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So the plate method is great because what you do is to eat healthfully and to help with weight loss as well, to prevent overeating, half your plate is veggies, okay, ideally leafy green veggies and some other veggie, and then one quarter of what I call a complex carbohydrate, which is like a whole grain like quinoa, for example, is good, or beans, and then one quarter protein. And everyone should get about 4 to 6 ounces, depending on your weight. So men, probably 6 ounces, depending on your weight, and women, 4 ounces per meal, okay, because this is going to keep you satiated. It's going to help you fend off the holiday food fair, and you're going to just sail right through the holidays.
And 5 meals a day, right? 5 eating episodes a day?
Actually, I like to say I've changed my mind on that.
Oh.
And so I like to say 3 meals a day and only eat snacks if you know you're going to be ravenous by the next meal. So a snack only if you know. The research has changed since I wrote the book. And so what you want to do is make sure that, you know, you don't – five small meals a day is a lot. And, in fact, most people can't swing it anyway. And, you know, and they make their snacks meals. And so what I like to say is just 3 meals a day and snacks if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know yourself best. You know, like I know that I can't go 3 hours without a snack. So, yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
Let's go back to aging a minute, because I think we just answered a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people hit 40 and they start to gain weight or whatever, and they say, well, mm-hmm. I can't fight this and there's nothing I can do about it. It's just the 40s. And now I disagree. I'm playing devil's advocate here with that question. I know the answer already. Don't worry. Don't go, oh, my God. and I'm 45.
Oh,
and my mom, yeah, exactly. What are you doing? My mom just visited, and my mom is 70. More proof, my mom just, you know, took 40 pounds off. And one of the ways she took 40 pounds off was simply by eliminating diet soda. Because I said, Mom, what are you drinking?
Oh, great point.
She's like, I don't feel good, and I feel fat and all this stuff, and I looked at her, and I can do that too. I know when I have inflammation going on, and I think I always kind of have a little bit of a baseline one with food allergies, but I know when they're aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at people and tell if people are inflamed too, and that doesn't mean like their personality, just their body and their skin color and their hair and their nails. And I mean, you can just look at people.
Right.
And I just have kind of developed a gift for it. And I visited my mom, and I said, what are you drinking? And I said, it always pretty much starts with what in the heck you're drinking. And she was drinking, and now don't fall over, like 20 diet sodas a day.
Wow. Are you serious? Oh, that's huge.
I'm serious, yeah. And
right.
I just looked at their behavior while I was there, and I'm like, you know, Mom, why do we even
mm-hmm.
have this in the house? I mean, Dad's a stroke survivor and a cancer survivor. Don't you know that sugar, you know, I gave my spiel kind of similar to the one you're giving from all the books I've read and stuff.
Was it a sugar, were they sugar sodas or diet sodas? You said
both.
Diet, right?
But she
both.
Was on
okay.
diet. And anyway, so I said, you can't do this all at once or you're going to get the worst headaches ever, trust me. But we need to nix the diet soda out of your body. And she's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
I can cold turkey it. I'm just like you. I taught you, you know, that kind of thing. She did, and she got headaches. But she lost, long story short, she lost 25 pounds just by changing diet soda up for water.
Well,
yeah,
you
like
know,
there's a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Lori, but there's in the diet soda, there's a ton of salt, you know, which is bad for you. But on top of that, these artificial sweeteners are toxic poisons also, aren't they?
They are, and they affect your brain much the same way that sugar does. So what happens is when you ingest these artificial sweeteners, your brain says, okay, sweet, but it's not really sweet. It knows. So it's in studies they've shown that it actually can raise insulin, in fact, because the brain's so wired, we humans are so wired for sweet that this is what happens. But, you know, back to the over 40, absolutely, no matter what your age, whether you're menopausal, you're 30, you're 40, 50, it doesn't matter, you can lose weight. And so it really goes back to what I was saying earlier about it's really like the shrinking muscle syndrome. Muscle plays such an important, it's such an important component in the way our metabolism runs and in how we expend energy, okay? So no matter what your age, but what you can do is to, if you're, say, over 40 or you're over 50, what you want to do is to make sure, like I said, you eat healthy, protein-rich foods, okay, that will support your muscle mass, the creation of more muscle. And then, you know, you don't want to overeat. That's one very important point, because if your metabolism has slowed, you can't eat like you did when you had more muscle, okay? So that's one. And then another important point is you want to strength train. And I can't emphasize this enough. And I know ladies don't want to look big. They don't want to look muscly. But you won't. You will look fit, okay, because we don't have enough testosterone like Walter does to create those big muscles, right?
Walter.
Thank
and
you for
so,
that.
Walter Arnold. He renamed you.
Right. And so, and then, so you want to work out, you want to get your cardio in for sure, at least 3 times a week, okay? And one of the best ways to burn fat over 40 is to try high-intensity interval training, or HIIT for short. Interval training is your quickest way to burn fat. It burns fat for hours, 24 hours later. You only have to do it 3 times a week, and you only have to do it for 50, not even, it depends on which type you do. There's the Tabata, which is one is 4 minutes. You can do one that takes 12 minutes, one that takes 15 minutes, but no more than 20 minutes. And what it is, it's really just an expenditure of a lot of intense energy. So, for example, if you're on the elliptical trainer, you go all out for 30 seconds, and then you go back down to a slow to moderate pace for 90 seconds, and you do that 8 times, and you're done. And you only do it 3 times a week, no more than 4, but normal is 3, and because if you do it too much, because of its intensity, you're just going to fatigue yourself, so it's not really good for the body. So you combine high-intensity interval training with strength training, and you will lose the weight as long as your diet's in order.
Keyword there.
No matter.
Keywords of wisdom.
Keyword,
right there, as long as your diet's in order, because I don't think
sugar.
You can out-exercise a crappy diet. I really don't.
Right.
That's
right. You can't. You cannot.
I don't think you can.
It all starts with the fork.
I'm going to quote you on that. It all starts with the fork.
Let's all tweet that right now.
Love everything. It all starts with the fork. That's really funny. Do we need to wait for a health crisis of our own to wake up to all of this? Because I notice that people seem to get religion, if you will, with a health mm-hmm. crisis. And sometimes even then it might take a second one or a third one. Or sometimes people never get it.
That's a really good question.
How do you get people to, like, wake up a little bit or be, is it, I love this mm-hmm. saying the other day. We had Pete Winarski on, and he said, you got to be all in.
Oh, I love that. You do. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you
Maybe
just can't
think,
be
like,
flaky, right, about it. You have to really, and, you know, it goes back to what Walter was saying early in the show, which is, and I always talk about this because it's so important, that you have to absolutely feel that you are worthy of good health. And part of the problem is we humans are blessed with good health, most of us, and so our bodies can regenerate, repair right away, make us feel better right away, and so we think that's going to happen forever and ever. Well, too many nicks in the machinery, it's eventually going to falter, okay, down the road. So but if you understand that you are worthy of good health throughout your life, and not just when you're young, and you put it into that perspective, and you understand the implications, the consequences, really, that can happen down the road, you will make better changes, make better health choices. And, you know, they say that one small change has a marked effect. Well, they're right. I see it every day with my clients. One small change. Look at your mother. You know, it might have not been easy for her, but it was a small change. A soda, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah. You know, those are good words, too. It might not be easy. In fact, it can be. I always say you got to get good and uncomfortable to make changes. And there's a comfort zone you've got to really get out of. You know, the whatever it is, you know, your little sugary comfort zone, to get out of that, it can be really, really hard.
Yes, it is very hard. When you're addicted to any food, really, whatever it is, even if it's not, you know, sugar, it's difficult to make that adjustment. And so there's a lot of emotional components that go into it. For example, I have had a client that he every night would go sit in his lazy boy chair in front of the TV and bring a snack with him. He'd take the bag with him. And that was his source of comfort and relaxing. But the problem was he was over 400 pounds, okay? And so what, for example, I tell people to do is if you know a certain situation is going to trigger this type of eating, this mindless eating, for example, first of all, never take the bag with you. Always dole out a portion of whatever you're taking. And then if you, for example, get a craving for something, you immediately leave the environment that you're in because this messes up the brain's cognitive thinking of she's okay in this chair, she's getting a craving, this is what happens, and then a binge occurs. So what I tell people to do is to absolutely get up, leave the environment that they're in, and do something else, no matter what it is. And call somebody, go for a ride in the car, just don't stop at the hamburger joint. But make sure that whatever you do, you're confusing the brain a little bit by leaving the environment. And I also have people wear a rubber band. And this is a really great technique that has been used for any addiction, really, is to put a rubber band, a loose one, on your wrist. And any time you get a craving, leaving the environment and snapping that rubber band makes a huge difference. The craving will go away. If you give it about 5 minutes, it will go away.
Really?
Yeah, you know, in 12-step programs, they talk about avoiding slippery people, places, and circumstances. And it's kind of what you're saying about separating yourself, disengaging from an environment that has the potential to trigger your addiction issues. So I really agree with that. But I want to mention one other thing about your book. I mean, because dieting, watching our weight, watching our nutrition, exercising, you know, all this stuff, I mean, you talk about, okay, consistency is important in action, but it's also important in tracking yourself and making sure you're reinforcing the process, right?
Absolutely. That is a great point you brought up, Walter. Studies show that when we track our food, everything we eat and drink, we lose twice as much weight as those who don't track it, that don't journal. And, you know, men really don't like to journal. They really put up a fuss with me about that. So what I have them do is I have them literally talk, you know, they record their what they've eaten and had to drink during the day, okay? Ideally, you want to do it as you go because that way you'll remember for sure what you've been eating and drinking all day long. But the best way to do it is to write it down because there's a connection between the brain and the actual writing that is part of why this research was so successful.
I'm laughing because I'm a writer, right? And so in my journal, it'll be like, I ate a salad. No dressing. I'm capable of so BSing in that thing. Like it was. I've written out some really funny blogs on that. And I haven't posted them, but I've got journals everywhere here of all my writing, and I've got the BS journal of like what you really ate and what you actually,
right.
You know.
That is a great point, Elizabeth. That is because you can't
people BS
lie.
Themselves.
You can't. Nope. You have to be honest. That way you learn the triggers. And I always have them, you know, people write down their emotions and what went on at the time they had that big old bag of chips, you know. So that way they know they can track when they're doing well, why they're doing well, and then keep doing that in the future.
Or if somebody knows that you're looking over, you know, going to read what they wrote, well, heck yeah, you know, I want to be, you know, be good in your eyes, so... Especially women will do. I've seen this before in motion when we've done weight loss challenges on Best Ever You. You know, somebody will come in and we'll weigh them, and they'll weigh 10 pounds more than like 3 weeks ago or whatever. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but their food journal is like, didn't eat, you know, ate a bird
perfect,
ate their
right?
journal the whole time. You know, it's like, which drive-through did you go through? Oh, I forgot. You know, it's very, very
right.
funny
it's
how we try
important
to
important to be honest with yourself.
Trying to help us.
Right, exactly. And that's a really important point because a lot of people aren't honest with themselves. And the only one they're fooling is themselves in the end. So
I hope everybody just heard that too. Are you time crunched? Can we keep you for 5 more minutes?
Oh, absolutely.
Or do you have to go? Well, we've got callers that have been hanging on the line the whole hour, and I just want to make sure I just at least acknowledge them and see if they want to still ask a question. We might have answered them all, but
absolutely.
Caller from the 704 area code. Hello, hello. We've unmuted you. Did you want to ask a question, or are you just still listening and all that? Hello, hello. Okay, listening. And then caller from the 972 area code, I've got you unmuted. Did you want to ask a question, or are you just listening as well?
You're talking to me?
Yes, I am. I'm talking to you.
Okay, yeah.
Hi.
Okay, hi. Yeah.
Is it Bob?
You are live on the radio.
It is Bob, actually.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, Lori. It is Bob. Yeah,
how are
I just
you?
Want to
good.
Say, I am doing great. I just want to say that your tips are amazing, and you know I've talked to you many times, Lori, and even though I've talked to you, so, some of the information is that's come out is new, and it's really amazing that you were able to bring it out. So I want to thank you for that, and I'm going to use a lot of that.
You're welcome.
I don't think did you tell the listeners? Because I know you talk about like over 40 and everything like that, and you look amazing and you're really strong. Do the listeners know how old you are and you have an upcoming birthday?
He's telling on me today. Oh,
but you know
I'm
what
sorry.
I like about you is that you're cool about it. You don't BS because it wouldn't be good for you to go lying about your age. I would hate it.
No, I am 56. I'll be 57 next week. And I know what it's like to be over 40. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. So that's the message I would like to put out there. And but
Lori,
thank you, Bob. You're in trouble now.
Lori, I pulled your picture up on my computer screen, and my son's super into fitness, and he's interviewed Bob before and all this stuff for school. And I pulled your picture up, and my son goes, I would marry her. If she would marry me, I'd marry her.
That is so cute.
But that, I mean,
tell
you know,
him thank you.
You're so beautiful, and I know that's
thank you,
you know, side of the point and everything, but beauty,
that is so sweet
you're
of you.
Living proof to me that beauty is all the way through. It's not just how you
thank
look
you.
And so forth, but what you eat and your mindset and what you think, feel, do, say, exercise, you're the whole picture of all
well,
of that.
Well, thank
it's
you
so neat.
Much. Well, you know, my husband would disagree with that. No, I'm kidding.
Our husbands, they need to be quiet. Yeah,
I'm teasing. But, you know, it's really becomes once you start making one change, another change becomes very easy to make. It's just a lifestyle. And then I like to tell people to educate themselves. The more education you have, the more you think about the choices you make. And another thing that's really important to know is that you don't have to look at your life as, I can't have that. It's more about, I choose not to have that. And that's the perspective that we all need to take. Because we know what the truth is. If we have sugar, we know, you know, what happens when we have sugar. Yeah.
I don't know if Walter, are you still with us? I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just want to, should we close out or did you have any final questions for Lori?
No, but no final question, but I did want to just say one thing to the listening audience, and that is, I wanted to reiterate the book, Fire Up Your Fat Burn. I reviewed it yesterday on Kindle, and it's got so much more stuff than we talked about today. It will change your life. I really encourage people to get it, whether a Christmas gift for somebody or a Christmas gift for yourself. This is important stuff. This will change the quality and the longevity of your life, so go for it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah,
Lori, do you like people to buy your book on, I know, anywhere, but is Amazon a preferred spot and then, like, leaving those reviews and things like that? Those are,
right.
Is it helpful
Amazon
when people
is,
do that?
Oh, yes, it really is. Reviews really help a lot because when people see the reviews, that's pretty much what prompts them to buy, you know. But yes, if they would like to leave a review, that would be nice. A nice review.
Yeah, a nice review. Don't leave any mean reviews, Gloria.
Right.
I'm going to come
out. Not
a
mean one.
No mean reviews. I don't like them. People do that. Yeah, and they're for no real good reason either. They're just like, I'm in a mean mood, so here we go.
Right.
Are you accessible to people, like if somebody finds you on Facebook, can they just go, hi, Lori? Or how do you respond to people trying to find you one-on-one? What do you prefer? How do you like people to contact you and all that stuff? Because there's a lot of people, you're Lori Shemek on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you have a fan page, and then your website is Dr. Lori Shemek.
Right. And all of that, they can contact me there through my website. I have a contact information. On Twitter, if they want to shout out, say, help, I need your help, I'm available
right
on
there.
Facebook. I have two Facebook pages, Dr. Lori's Health Works and Dr. Lori Shemek. Both are two different pages. And my book is, you can buy it on Kindle or in hardback on Amazon. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you're in our community. You're in our Best Ever You
right.
community, which
I love
is really cool.
The Best Ever You community. It really
good
is.
People, aren't they?
That's part of living a better life and a great way to make changes, new changes in your life by joining this community, actually. We see
Thank
it every
you.
Day.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great group of people in there, and they're also supportive of all that we're all trying to do and each other and everything. So I want to thank you for being with us today, giving us an hour of your time and to share your expertise in your book, Fire Up Your Fat Burn.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. And Walter, both of you are wonderful, and it's really been my pleasure, really an honor. I was really excited to come on, so I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, and I want to also give a shout-out to Bob Choate, because without Bob, you know, he just connects the dots and
he's a networker, isn't he?
he's well, brilliant
you.
And well-spoken
is,
and a wealth of knowledge himself, so I loved having him on the show the other day, too. So thank you, everybody, for being with us. Happy holidays. Whatever holiday that you celebrate, happy holidays. I'm looking at the calendar right now. This is where I get a little bit unmemorized and anything. I don't think we have a show until January, Walter.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I have to look. But I don't think we have anything. I'll double-check and everything, but I'll post the schedule and so forth. But I know that we don't have any shows next week in observance of all the holidays and so forth. I know they're very light. And if somebody wants to schedule something, everybody keeps asking us, Walter, if we want to schedule a Christmas Day Joy show. We had so much of a response. I'm getting emails saying, are you going to do a gratitude show on Christmas like you did on Thanksgiving? And I'm like, I don't ever do shows on Christmas. Interesting, huh? We're getting emails all over the place.
Well, I defer to you on that.
Yeah, so think about it, but we'll see. But I just want to thank, let's just end by thanking Lori again. And if you guys want a Christmas Day show, email me. I'll think about it. I don't know how my kids and husband would feel about that, but we do have people who are listening asking for that. I guess people like those pick-me-ups on the holidays where they know they're supported and there's gratitude and love and joy in their life. So I think we served as that a little bit on Thanksgiving. So those Good Morning Gratitude shows. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'd be up for it if your schedule and my schedule can make it happen. I think absolutely. Let's reinforce what the holidays are really all about. So yeah, if you're up for it and it fits into your family schedule, I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, I just got some tweets while we were on the air, so we'll wind up here. I know we're chatting and stuff, but I appreciate y'all listening, and I'll let you know in the Best Ever You group if we do another show next week. If we do that Christmas show, I will definitely email the group and let everybody know. But otherwise, we're off, and we'll see you either the last week of December or back here in January. So thank you, and thank you for Dr. Lori Shemek for joining us today. She's the author of the best-selling book, Fire Up Your Fat Burn, and she's just one of the best health experts in the country, so we appreciate her being here. And thank you, Dr. Walter, for being here, too.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.